Welcome to another episode of Thinking Like a Bank, where we show you how to think like a bank by applying the same strategies and principles that banks use to help you find more financial freedom in your life. I'm your host, Sari Ibrahim. Today, I'm interviewing Adam Carroll. Adam is a two-time TEDx speaker with over 6 million views on his talk from the London Business School. He's a four-time author and the founder of the Shred Method, a system that creates freedom for people by teaching them how to create income efficiency, blast away debt, and build real wealth in record time. Adam, welcome to our podcast.
Sir, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be with you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to interview you. I was looking at your other content and some of the other things you've done. It looks like you're doing a lot in the financial strategy world. I'd love to learn more about that and your background. So tell us more about who you are and your background.
Well, I think it was in my early 20s that I realized that I had little to no financial acumen. And it occurred to me that if you're going to be successful in life, that actually might be something that would be high on your list to know. I met a woman my senior year of college who basically told me, get rid of your debt or I'm going to get rid of you. And she's been my wife now for 22 years. And between the two of us, we really figured out how to live life differently than most people, which actually involved blasting away our debt in short order, you know, in the first couple of years of being married. And once I did that, I felt like this huge weight had been lifted and we had somewhat cracked part of the code, at least in building wealth and living the way we wanted to live. And then it just became a passion of mine to share that information with as many people as possible.
Awesome. And you've done that a couple of ways, right? Your podcast, the books you've written, something called the Shred Method. Do you mind sharing with us more on what is the Shred Method?
Yeah. So the Shred Method has kind of been an evolution for me around finding the most efficient way to handle cash flow in a personal economy in your household. And really what it is in a nutshell, Sari, is the idea that our money really is not efficient when it's just sitting in a bank account. Mm-hmm. And yet for most people, the way that they either deem themselves successful or secure, safe and secure, is looking at either their savings or their checking account and saying, yeah, oh, I've got plenty of money until next payday. And when you really start digging in, that money sitting there does nothing for you. There's no velocity of the money that sits in a savings or a checking account. It makes us feel safe and secure, but all the while we might be paying interest on amortized debts like a car payment, a mortgage, a student loan. And so the Shred Method really teaches people how to deploy your cash flow in a much more efficient manner, thereby paying off debts faster and eliminating all the interest expense that you would normally have on those debts.
So it's kind of doing two things. It's saving money and it's paying down debt, kind of, it sounds like in a more rapid way than just simply having money sitting in a checking account growing in a linear way and then just paying off debt this way. This is more of a creative process. Do you mind going a little bit deeper into like what is the strategy?
Part of the reason I was excited about talking to you and your audience is if we really are thinking like a bank, and when we borrow money from the bank, we are the compound interest vehicle that the bank is leveraging. So anyone who has a mortgage or a car loan or a student loan or a credit card, if we have borrowed money from the bank, they are counting on us making our payments, minimum payments at that, for as long as humanly possible so that they can make the most amount of profit. And so if you are thinking like a bank, one of the things you have to realize is that there are two great expenses that we have in life. One is the interest expense on debt, and the other is taxes.
Yes.
So our goal should be to minimize both of those if our goal is to maximize wealth building. And just like a bank, if we can figure out how to deploy our resources in a way that generates compound interest for us, not against us, we can function much like a bank does. And so the Shred Method effectively uses a common tool that most people have access to, and it is a HELOC, a home equity line of credit, or you could use a discretionary fund. If you've got, you know, a fairly significant amount in savings and you peeled off a month of that or 2 months of that, you could use that as your, what we would call your Shred account. But our shredders, what they do is they funnel their income through that Shred account. And then we have a piece of software that actually drives all the algorithm and mathematical equationing behind it. But it will tell you on a day-by-day, week-by-week basis where to send lump sums of money to get the most bang for your buck, so to speak, to pay off the most debt, to reduce the most amount of interest. And when you do that for a consistent period of time, and for most people, that's somewhere between 12 and 36 months, maybe 48 months, you can actually be financially free and then turn around and deploy the equity that you now have in your home into cash flow producing investments, which we also help our clients with.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so it's using like a HELOC or home equity line of credit or discretionary savings. The income you have, the cash flow goes to one of those vehicles that's judged by the software. The software helps determine that. That's the Shred Method software, helping people get out of debt, 12 to 36 points. And then what kind of debt is that? Does that include like all the credit cards, like any kind of debt they have?
It does. It includes any kind of debt they have. So we typically would start much like a debt snowball. We're going to go after whatever the highest, typically we're going to go after the highest payment.
Yeah.
Or we would do lowest balance. But our goal is to free up cash flow quickly, right? So if you have a car payment of $350 and you owe $6,000 or $7,000 left on that vehicle, our goal might be to blast away the debt on the vehicle faster so that we can free up the extra $350 a month to plug into the Shred Method so that we're eliminating debt that much faster, and some of the other debts. But what I'll tell you is that a lot of clients come to us and they might have three or four different debts that they're looking to pay off, credit cards, car loans. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of real estate investors who will say, I'm trying to figure out how to free up cash to be able to go into the next investment.
Yes.
And this system works magically for that group of people. And ideally, I would say if you've got somewhere between 1 and 5 rental properties, you turn on the Shred Method on that kind of situation, it's game over. This is like a video game that you can't lose in short order. So we love teaching people how to do that. And then some people will just say, I just flat out want to be out of debt altogether. Yeah. I want everything gone. And what we found, Sari, is that the reason that people have that feeling or that desire is there was probably something in their upbringing where debt was hanging over their head. Maybe their parents weren't great about managing debt. We've had some clients that had foreclosures in their past or as kids, they remember their house getting foreclosed on. So whatever situation people find themselves in, we like to strategize with them on the best use of mm-hmm. the Shred Method for their particular situation.
Got it. I'm glad you mentioned about the upbringing part, because that has a big impact on how people feel about money, how they think about money. Because you might ask, and you've mentioned this on your YouTube channel in one of your videos, where you might ask somebody, what does financially free mean to you? And they'll say having, 6 months in their savings account, and then somebody else, $27 in their savings account, and they're completely fine. Understanding somebody's upbringing, understanding their paradigm, like how they feel about money, their background around money, really makes a big impact on the planning process and the strategy process moving forward. Now, Adam, I know that using HELOC, it's kind of ringing a bell. It's sounding a little bit like velocity banking. Is it the same thing?
It's very similar. Velocity banking uses some similar strategies. And I would say the difference between the Shred Method and velocity banking is going to be strategically how we execute this. And most velocity bank, most people who are into velocity banking, their goal is to be debt-free.
Yes.
That tends to be the goal. For the Shred Method users, our goal is actually to own more and more of your income all the time. Okay. So it's a little bit different twist on a similar strategy. And I think one of the things that is standing out about our method versus something else is that we have a piece of software that is based on a complex algorithm written to make sure that you are leveraging the amount of money that you need to in the right way. So as an example, Sari, we literally in the software, it will say, send $1,872.62 to your mortgage, as an example.
Yeah.
And when it goes down to the penny, what it's doing is it's calculating, how do we get the biggest bang for your buck without paying a ton of interest on the HELOC, but displacing the amortization table on the mortgage?
Yeah.
To cut the most amount of interest out.
I see that. Yeah, that makes sense. And having the calculation, because it's when you're borrowing from the HELOC, you're paying interest, right? And the amount of interest, the amount of money you take out impacts the amount of interest you pay. And like you said, when you're paying the mortgage, every month you pay above the standard amortized table, it changes the other. So if it's a 360 month payment and you're halfway through the mortgage and you make just $1 extra on top of the mortgage, it changes the other 180 payments after that.
100%, 100%. And what we will notice and our clients will notice is that if you started, as an example, a $200,000 mortgage, let's say you bought a rental property for 200K and you dropped before payment one, you dropped $5,000, or let's say after you made the first payment, before payment two, you dropped $5,000 from a line of credit into that mortgage, it would actually accelerate the amortization table by a significant number of payments. In this case, it might be 15 to 18 payments. And so what's fascinating about it is people will say, I just skipped 18 payments of whatever my monthly payment was. So if it's $1,000 for simplicity's sake, you just skipped $18,000 of payments and have more equity in your property with just a $5,000 one-time lump sum and more of your payments going to principal every month. So we're gaming the banking system using the shred method. And most people have just never questioned it because we've been brought up in this era, this world where you borrow money, you make the payment as assigned, and we never really question it. And then we have all these experts saying dollar cost average and make sure you have 12 months worth of living expenses in the bank and so on and so forth. And we've just started to question the logic behind that, particularly for folks that maybe they've had 6 or 12 months worth of living expenses sitting in the bank for 10 years.
Yeah.
At some point you go, what is my ability to actually go out and get a job? Do I need 12 months or do I really need 3 months? And I need access to $20,000 or $30,000 at a time, which you can have when you have a HELOC ready and waiting for you.
So Adam, let's say, for example, we start this process, we fast forward, 12 to 36 months later, we have all the debt paid off. Now we have this extra cash flow, right? Because we don't have to service this debt anymore. Totally. Now what? Now how do we increase the income and where does that income go to keep increasing, to keep growing?
Yeah, this is such an astute question because you'll get to a point where, okay, you've paid everything off or paid everything down. The majority of your payment maybe is going to principal. What do you do now? And the best way to describe this area is using a metaphor that I like to use. Have you ever, you remember going to a water park as a kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that giant bucket that fills up with water and it just slowly dumps on all the kids below. So we are filling up buckets and then dumping the bucket. And as soon as we dump the bucket, we want to fill it back up again. And so the bucket in this case is either your primary residence or maybe a rental property. And once you have filled the bucket up, which in this analogy means you have paid off the mortgage, so you've got all this money sitting there, right, in equity. We then want to dump the bucket into something else. And that something else for our clients looks like maybe an alternative investment. It might be a syndication.
Yes.
It might be an intellectual property play. It might be becoming a lender. We might use sites like Roofstock or Masterworks.io or something that's out of the ordinary. Because what people are looking for is predictability and certainty in their returns, right? So a financial advisor might say, well, just dollar cost average $500 a month into the S&P 500 index. And over 20 years, you're going to average whatever.
Yeah.
The challenge with that is we're in a moment right now where the market may go sideways for the next 10 years.
Yes.
There may be no real growth unless you're trading options or shorting stock or doing something creative. So the buy and hold strategy actually is likely going to prove ineffective over the next several years if you're looking for a standard return.
Yep.
So people are now clamoring for some alternative investment where the risk is largely mitigated. They're willing to take a calculated risk, but they don't want to be risky. And what we found in the shred method is we're mitigating the risk by minimizing our bills to the ridiculous. And then we're taking a calculated risk by saying, let's take 50 grand at a time and put that into something that's going to generate 8, 12, 15, 20%. And that may seem like a crazy number, but there's a lot of investments that when you're putting in 50 or 100 grand at a time, that's the kind of return you're looking at. And so, and the risk is mitigated more so than, you know,
stocks or S&P 500. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. So your question about what do you do at the 36 month mark is you start to reframe, what do I do with the equity that's in my house now to generate passive income? And this is really where the magic comes in, because I'll give you a real life example. One of our clients has a family of six, two parents, four kids. Kids are all teenage, getting ready to go to college. Cars have been bought. They're 529s, have some money in it, maybe not all the money they need, but some money in it. And they got their bills down to a point, because they had blasted away their mortgage. They've gotten their bills down to about $3,500 to $3,700 a month. And that's family of six, eating, going out to eat, doing family stuff, kids, athletic events, vacations, all of that. And the family makes, you know, closer to six figures, maybe a little over six figures combined. And they have said, what do we do with the extra $5,000 a month that we have? Right. And I said, well, think about this. If you drop $50,000 at a time into an investment that was making even 10%, right, then what's happening is you're making $5,000 a year on that investment, which is about $483 a month, or what, $466, or my math in that moment isn't that quick. But whatever it is, $450 to $500 a month comes in. All that does is that adds to the cash flow, which allows you to fill the bucket up that much faster, that $50,000 that you borrowed. So the more you do that, well, now the numbers start to go, well, let's deploy 100, let's deploy 150, let's deploy 200. And when you start doing that at a time over the next 2 to 3 years, your net worth tends to like do leaps and bounds over what it would do if it was just sitting in equities, because our money is just so stinking efficient in the process.
Yeah. You can even add another layer of the taxes, like how you mentioned, that's a big part. You know, I'm not a tax professional, right? But the interest you pay on your mortgage could be tax deductible. So that's another win right there.
Yep.
Plus, if you are like, you know, if you're a real estate professional, your business is involved in real estate, then, you know, the investment you invest in, let's just say it's a real estate syndication, you invest $50,000 in that, you could potentially write off the interest that you borrowed to use that $50,000 and take the depreciation from that investment, and then offset your active income if you're a real estate professional. So I kind of want you to go a little bit, a step further as far as the taxes go. There could be tax benefits using the strategy as well, not just the paying down the debt, not just growing your net worth, but also the tax advantages too.
Absolutely. Two points I would make on that, on that question. Number one is there are a lot of these investments that are out there, the alternative investments that the average American probably doesn't know about, or they don't feel like they have enough liquidity to participate.
Yeah.
And a number of them have bonus depreciation.
Yes.
So if you put $100,000 in, and as an example, there's a company out there that's selling ATM tranches. So you can buy a share of, let's say, six ATM machines.
Yeah.
And it's roughly $100,000. Okay. The return on that's 18% per year. Predicted. And it's all based on the ATM fees.
Yes.
So as an investor in it, you're getting a percentage of the ATM fees over time. But generally speaking, over the course of a 7-year payout period, it averages about 18% per year returns. There is a 90 to 95% bonus depreciation in year one on that deal. So if you've got considerable income 1 year, but you drop $100,000 in this investment, you might be able to write off $95,000 of that income, right? Or it will decrease your taxable income by $95,000. That's how the bonus depreciation works, thereby reducing the overall tax amount that you're paying out. And you're still getting the 18% return, which when you factor in the bonus depreciation ends up being closer to like 25 or 30% over time.
Right. And then the cash flow you get goes back to pay off the mortgage quicker.
That's exactly right.
And then repeat that process. Once you've built up enough equity, you can use a HELOC or a cash out refinance to then take that money back out and then repeat that process in other investments. You can invest, I think, I had somebody on the podcast who talked about Bitcoin mining, where you can invest in the equipment for Bitcoin mining. And that's also a depreciable asset. Real estate syndications are a really big one. So yeah, it goes beyond Wall Street and mutual funds and brokerage accounts.
It has to. You know, the challenge now is that it feels as if nothing is really tied. They're all tied together and nothing is tied together. I mean, you would expect looking at the market that when things are happening the way they are or did over the last couple of years, that whatever equities are doing, that gold wouldn't be pegged to it.
Yeah.
Right. And they were moving it sometimes in lockstep, which doesn't make any sense. So even the people who are really savvy investors are saying, yeah, there may not be the rhyme or reason that there was, or some of these things aren't pegged the same way that they should be. So that's one thing. I want to touch on one other comment you'd made about tax advantages.
Yeah.
And one of the comments that we get or questions from Shred prospects or users is, what about my mortgage deduction? Like, I really like having my mortgage interest deduction.
Yeah.
And in 2017, when they changed the tax code, essentially what was altered was the standard deduction for a couple is $25,600 or something like that. Yeah. And that is regardless of what your mortgage interest is.
Yeah.
So if your mortgage interest is zero, you're still able to do a standard deduction of 25.8 or whatever the number is, right? So those who say, well, I like my mortgage interest deduction, I tend to come back with, that's cool, and I appreciate that you like it, but what if you still took it and you didn't have the expense?
Yeah, I think most people don't qualify because the standard deduction is so high, like married couples, they don't even qualify for the interest deduction.
It's a wicked high number that don't. I mean, it's like not 90%, I think I've seen, that don't qualify for that. Because you'd have to have, now that interest rates have gone up, it might be a little bit different, but you'd have to have at least a $500,000 or $600,000 mortgage at 6 or 7%, 8%, in order to have that much interest that you would itemize
in the beginning years of the mortgage, probably too.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. You're right. And then also, if they like had other itemized deductions, like contribution, donations, things like that, they'd have to boost it above 25.9. I think that's what the limit is. 25.9.
25.9. Yep.
To get the itemized deduction rather than the standard deduction. So yeah, to your point, I see that now, that perspective is that a lot of people won't even qualify for the mortgage deduction.
Right. So going back to the comment about our two greatest expenses are taxes and the interest expense on debt. One of the things that I started questioning early on, this was probably 10 or 12 years ago, I started questioning, well, what would it take to minimize taxes? And I started getting answers about how to do that. And they're all above board. They're all legal. It's just different strategies. And then I started asking, how would I reduce the interest expense on debt?
Yeah.
And that's where the Shred method really came along. And we started zoning in on how to take full advantage of it and then share it with other people, which is how it's turned into the business it is today.
Yeah, I like this a lot. I like this method a lot. And the idea of paying off this debt and building up cash flow. How can the listeners learn more about the strategy and learn more about you?
Well, the best way to learn more about the strategy is to go to theshredmethod.com. Uh-huh. And we've got a evergreen webinar there that will teach you how it works. We've got a HELOC guide, which you can download in case you don't have a HELOC yet. And my disclaimer on this is, I think everyone should have a HELOC, regardless if you're using it or not, because it just creates another pool of liquidity should you need it. And I really maintain, Sari, that people in this country, especially, they don't have an income problem. They have a liquidity problem.
Yeah.
Income is how we all afford the lifestyle that we're in. And the bankers make sure that, you know, whatever amount of income you have, you're going to be able to afford this house, this car, this credit card. Some people go over and above, but for the most part, our income is what it is. And it allows us to live our lifestyle. The liquidity problem comes in that, if I showed you an opportunity for $100,000 that was going to pay you 14% per year, and it was largely risk mitigated, where would the $100,000 come from? And most people would say, oh, a 401k loan, or I would get 10 buddies together. And
most people, I think, wouldn't even think about getting $100,000 in general. They would just think that's beyond their reach.
Right. Beyond their capacity.
Yeah.
And yet, if you look at the first 3 years of a mortgage, you're probably going to pay that amount of money in interest that you will never see again.
Yeah.
Right. Or let's say 5 years, depending on your mortgage balance. But even so, what if you could recapture that back and have $100,000 or $200,000 more over the course of a couple of decades that you had to grow your wealth with? It's game over by the time you're in your 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And that's really the key here, is I think you have to have a long-term outlook. Mm-hmm. That we're doing things in the immediate term, 12 months to 36 months, but we're planning and we're strategizing for what 20 and 30 and 50 years looks like from now. And when you do that, your future self is going to love it, right? A little hard now, but with a little discipline and consistency, man, it's so much easier just a few years from now.
Your future self will thank you.
Indeed. Totally.
In your bio, I see you're a TEDx speaker. You know, I'm really interested in that. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. So I've made my living for years as a professional speaker. I was going out to college campuses all across the country and doing a program on money. I ended up kind of spreading my business out to banks and credit unions. I started working with corporations and teaching financial literacy. And at some point in my career, I realized that what I really wanted to do was a TED Talk. And I was blessed to be asked to a couple of them. One was in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And the second one I did at the London Business School in the UK. And that talk at some point went viral, and it has about 6 million views today. But it was all about a game of Monopoly that I played with my kids with real cash. And it was just a fun kind of an experiment that ended up having some really tangible life lessons to it. And that became the centerpiece for the TED Talk that I did in London.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for joining us, Adam. It was a pleasure having you on the podcast. I'm looking forward to having you back on as a guest speaker. I'll add in the links you mentioned in the show notes below.
Yeah.
TREDmethod.com, your first name, last name, .info, right? I'll add those in the show notes below. And yeah, thank you for joining us today.
Derek, thanks for having me. Keep doing what you do, man. It's very important.
Thank you. To learn more about what we do and how we can help you grow more wealth, please visit www.finassetprotection.com. That's F-I-N, assetprotection.com. The topics presented in this podcast are for general information only and not for the purposes of providing legal, accounting, or investment advice. On such matters, please consult a professional who knows your specific situation.